I want to share with you a little thought this morning about the Lord, but coming from a little different direction. So take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. And I want to read some familiar verses to you about the Queen of Sheba coming to Solomon. Charles, where's Carolyn? She didn't clean the house? All right, so you made her stay, okay. Good to see you. Good to see you. All right, let's begin reading in verse 1, please. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. Follow along here as I read. It says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." I'll stop reading right there, and you keep your Bible open. I want to speak to you this morning a message I'm going to entitle, "The Greatness of Solomon." The Greatness of Solomon. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for what we witnessed here this morning. Thank you so much for the folks that have served in the military to defend our freedom. And Lord, we thank you so much for each one. And to see all these folks stand a few moments ago when their service anthem was sung, Father, just blesses our hearts. And we thank you for each one and for what they sacrificed for this country. And I pray now that as we open the Bible and look at Solomon and look at this very wealthy queen who came to see Solomon, help us to see a greater than Solomon. Help us to see the Lord Jesus this morning. And Father, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. And just bless your word to our hearts. May we leave here today more in love with the Lord Jesus, more thankful, more grateful for what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We sit here and sing these hymns, and we look at these folks who stood a moment ago, and our hearts are grateful, and we appreciate what they did when we see them stand. But Father, help us to realize what Jesus did for us and appreciate that even more as we think about him this morning. So bless us richly now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. When Solomon was ascended to the throne, succeeding his father David, he instantly started off with a bang. Spiritual revival swept all across the kingdom. He was a great leader, and he went into the job of being the king of Israel with a newfound trust in God, and he displayed that, he showed that to the people, and they got behind his leadership, and a great revival undertook during Solomon's time as at transition, during his time of transition. And God blessed Solomon. God just blessed in miraculous ways. We all know his story. We know how God prospered him materially, financially, materially, intellectually, you name it, in every way imaginable. The hand of God was upon Solomon when he took over from his daddy David. So great was the magnificence of King Solomon, and the rumors about his achievements spread so rapidly and so widely throughout the region that strangers were attracted to Jerusalem from literally all over the world. People came from all over the known world to see all that Solomon had done. If you look at verse 24 in this chapter, it says, "And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God put in his heart." So people came from everywhere to see this man and to see God's blessings upon him. The city of Jerusalem would often be thronged by multitudes of people, just multitudes, all speaking different languages, just as it was many years later in Acts chapter 2. When they came from all over the known world on the day of Pentecost, when a glory greater than Solomon's was manifested. And here at this time, when Solomon was on the throne, and when these visitors came, in accordance with Middle Eastern culture, they brought gifts to the king. This man that was so highly favored of God was brought even more wealth, and more fame was given to him. We read in verse 25 that gold and silver and clothing and armor and spices and horses, all this stuff was brought by visitors and were given to him. And no doubt in great abundance. And I wonder, as I read this, I wondered what King Saul, his predecessor two generations back, I wonder what King Saul would have thought about all this that was being done for Solomon. I wonder what David, his daddy, whom we are told had a royal mule. Remember that? He had a royal mule. And God did not want them collecting horses, remember? God didn't want them to have this huge army. God wanted to be their defender. And so David, the law said that Israel's king was to ride a mule. And we are told that David rode around the city of Jerusalem on the royal mule. And you got to wonder what David would have thought of all these magnificent stallions and golden chariots that were brought by outsiders and given as gifts to his famous son. Josephus, the historian that wrote about all this, he had a great deal to say about Solomon and all of Solomon's splendor. And he said that Solomon was driven around Jerusalem by his bodyguards, and that they used the most lavish golden chariots They used the largest and the fastest, the most powerful horses that they had, and even said that Solomon's guards were dressed in Tyrian purple and had gold dust sprinkled in their hair so that the sun would glisten off of their hair as they drove down the road on their horses. A little much, I would say. Now, among these wealthy visitors who came, there was none that quite reached the status and the fame of the visitor that we are told about here in this 10th chapter, the Queen of Sheba, or as the Lord Jesus referred to her, the Queen of the South. This woman has been credited with a lot of legends through the centuries. One legend says that she came out of Africa and out of what is today Ethiopia, and that she and Solomon had a son, and she took that son back to Ethiopia, and that boy became the founder of the great Abyssinian tribe of people. Well, there's only one problem with that, and that problem is that she was not from Africa. She was from the country of Teman, which is today the country of Yemen. And all through the Bible, Yemen is referred to as the South. It is that nation that is underneath Saudi Arabia today, and that is the country of Yemen. Now, here is what I think happened. In the South, down in Yemen, this queen kept hearing news about this Solomon fella. You see, the trade routes kept busy, and the folks coming through Jerusalem, going down to the shore, down to the ocean, down where they could get their things from the Orient. And all this news kept going back and forth about this man named Solomon, this man of great wisdom, and this man of great riches. And every time there was some whisper of his name, the name of the Lord was connected to his story. If you look at verse 1, Solomon's fame was invariably tied in and connected with Jehovah God's blessing. It was God's blessing on Solomon that made him so well known. It was every time his name was brought up, it was brought up in connection with the blessing of Jehovah God and the God of the Jews upon him. And so she just decided one day that she was going to come to Jerusalem and she was going to find out for herself what all this talk was about Solomon. Can you imagine the stir in the narrow, crowded streets of Jerusalem when this huge, long train of camels came through the gates and entered into the city, and the people saw the Queen of Sheba with their own eyes? I can see inquisitive schoolchildren stopping in their tracks to gaze upon this royal entourage as it graced its way through the city to the palace of King Solomon. Now let's look at her visit as she sought to know the greatness of this man and see if we can learn a little bit about about his greatness ourselves. The first thing I want you to see is her desire was to prove his wisdom with difficult questions. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us in verse 3 that, like most people, she had some questions about life. And she heard that Solomon had the answers to those questions. Solomon was going to answer those questions with God-given wisdom. And God-given wisdom always makes even the most profound things easy to understand. You know, in the New Testament, in the book of James, we are told that there are two kinds of wisdom in this world. There is worldly wisdom, and there is godly wisdom. We all ought to understand that even the most profound questions can be answered where godly wisdom is applied to the questions. Now look at that third verse. It says, "And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not." In verse 3, the rabbis, as they commented on this, have an interesting take on this third verse. They say that the queen had riddles that she used to ask Solomon so she could see just how truly wise he was. You know, to us today, that would probably seem like a foolish thing. But they went on to explain that folks in the ancient world took riddles very seriously. The historian Plutarch tells us that Homer died of grief because he was unable to answer a certain riddle that someone asked him of. And he could not figure it out. And the man who asked him died and took the answer to the riddle before he could get it, and that it grieved Homer so much that he literally grieved himself to death. You will remember that Samson in the Bible used riddles to show others how God had blessed him in the book of Judges and chapter 14. So is there something to this thinking the rabbis used to interpret this verse? Well, I don't know for sure, but it would kind of make sense if you think about it. I can't say for sure that that's it, but I do know that the answers that Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba were more than satisfactory to convince her that he was as wise as she told him, or as she had been told he was. We do not know but there are some amazing stories, just absolutely amazing stories that are connected, that have been passed along because of this meeting and because of what she asked him and how he answered it. And we don't know what the questions were. God did not reveal that to us. God did not tell us what she asked Solomon. But there are a lot of amazing stories that have been handed down from generation to generation about the meetings between these two. Let me give you one of the most lasting stories. The queen stood. Now this is just a story. I don't know if it's true or not, but this is what has been passed down, and these stories are still being told about Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. But the story goes that the queen stood before Solomon while he was on his gold-covered throne, and she stood several feet away and was questioning him. And here was her riddle. She held out two bouquets of flowers. And she said, without you approaching, just from you sitting there and me several feet away, I want you to tell me which one of these bouquets is real and which one is fake. And Solomon instantly ordered that the lattice be opened by a servant who was standing beside one particular window. And just under that window was a garden filled with beautiful flowers. Solomon never said a word. He just watched. And within just a couple of minutes, some bees flew in and landed on the bouquet of real flowers. And with a smile on his face, and to her amazement, Solomon was able to identify the real flowers from the fake flowers. True or not, we do not know. We do not know. But she was amazed at his wisdom. We do know that. In verse 4, she saw his royal magnificence. And in verse 5, she was so stricken by it that she cried out in verse 7 and said, the half has never yet been told. That we know. Now, second thing, I want us to look at the lessons that the Lord Jesus gave us concerning this visit. Go over in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew for just a moment, chapter 12. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 12. I want you to look at what the Lord Jesus said in verse 42. Here's what Jesus said about the Queen of Sheba. In verse 42, the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Isn't that something? Jesus said that the Queen of Sheba will be able to speak up at the great white throne judgment when all of those people who heard Jesus and rejected him stand and say, well, wait a minute, it's not fair that you're going to send us to hell for all eternity. And Jesus said, in that day, at that judgment, when this generation who has rejected me, and when they all throw their hands up in protest and say, well, wait a minute, it's not fair that we have to spend eternity in hell. It's not fair. Jesus said that the Queen of Sheba is going to stand up and she's going to say, whoa, wait a minute. You were there. You saw him. You heard him. You watched his every move. And you said no? How could you do that? And Jesus said that she's going to be able to look at all of them and say, you know what? I came 500 miles. And I came looking for him only based on what I had. And faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. Wow. That's pretty impressive if you ask me. She traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles across a hot desert to find the truth from Solomon. And they had a greater than Solomon right in their midst, and they would not believe. Now, two quick lessons. Number one, we see the lesson of uncontrollable curiosity. You see, all the Queen of Sheba heard was rumors, stories, tales about a man in Jerusalem who knew God and who understood life. But wait a minute, that's all she needed. That's all she needed. Wow, somebody who knows what life is about, somebody who knows the Lord, somebody who knows God. And in her curiosity, she went looking for the truth. She went looking, and she found what she was looking for. Let me ask you something, folks. Have you sought the Lord? Have you sought the Lord? Do you wonder about all these folks that could care less about God and Jesus and the church and truth and the Bible and the gospel and heaven and hell? Don't you wonder about them? Man, I do. That just grieves me. I just don't understand how folks can have such a total indifference to the things of God. I just don't understand that. I hope you don't have that indifference. I hope you don't have that indifference. Can you hear about the Lord and then just go on your same way and walk your same old path without having a stirring in your heart? Well, the queen couldn't. Man, when she heard about this, she said, I got to go seek this out. I got to go find this. But then secondly, there is the lesson of the undetected glory. The undetected glory. Go back just you're in Matthew 10. Go back to the 6th chapter for just a minute. Look at verse 25. This is the great Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment?" Well, it is, but there are not a whole lot of people believe that anymore. Everybody's all concerned. How do I look? How do I look? How do I look? Here's one. Where are we going to eat? Huh? Oh, yeah, that's the question, isn't it? Where are we going to eat? We got 100 restaurants within 5 miles of us, and we just can't figure out where in the world we're going to eat. Good grief. Whatever happened to eating at home? I mean, we have a kitchen, but that's only because it came with a house. You understand that, right? Look at verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature?" Now, we can add a cubit to our girth. Yep. But not to your height. Can't mess with that. It is what it is. Look at verse 28. "And why take ye thought for raiment?" What's the next three words? "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." It was at the visit of the queen that the glory of Solomon came to its own. I want you just to imagine the people watching the rise of this king. They could see the hand of God upon him. The buildings, the temple, the roads, the aqueducts, everything. And then here comes this royal caravan with soldiers and guards. wealth beyond description. And there was the Queen of Sheba, probably the wealthiest woman on the planet. And you know, the people of Jerusalem probably thought, well, I guess we're never going to see anything like this again. I guess we'll never see anything like this again. When she got her caravan and rolled out of town, they probably stood there and thought, well, we'll never run into this as long as we live. We'll never see this again. Never see it again. And the years passed, and the years became decades, and the decades became centuries. And then one day, Jesus came. Jesus was on the scene. And what did Jesus do? In his first public sermon, he pointed to the lilies, and men learned that even Solomon, at the height of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Look at verse 29. He said, "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Was not that a lesson in undetected glories? The point is, folks, if you think that what you read about Solomon was something spectacular, just look down at your feet and look at a lily that is growing out of the ground and realize that the same God that blessed Solomon with wisdom and riches is the same God that made that little flower to grow out of the ground. We don't have a Solomon to look at today and say, wow, boy, God sure was good to have blessed that man the way he did, but we do have flowers out here growing by the front entrance, and we do have this fellowship that we call the Church of the Open Door. We do have God's blessings upon our church family and upon our individual families, and we have God's blessings, and we can look at that and say, wow. Old Solomon was something else, but wait a minute, our Lord is 10,000 times better. Look at what our Lord can do. What we should be praying is, Father, open our eyes so that we can see a greater than Solomon is ever with us. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you know, it's so easy to look at life's problems, but would you just take a minute and look at God's blessings and give thanks to the Lord for all that he has done for you.